This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we move on to another four of Allah's names. And these four names basically allude to Allah's all-encompassment, the attribute of al-ihata, or Allah encompassing His entire creation. And so He subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses everyone and everything in both time and place. The encompassment of Allah is both in terms of time and place, as we will see in these four names. And so these four names have been mentioned together in the Quran and also in the Sunnah. And they have only been mentioned once, both in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And so in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, in the very beginning of Surah Al-Hadid, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. And so these are the four names that we have. Al-Awwal, Al-Akhir, and Al-Zahir, and Al-Batin. And so we're going to see what each one of them, what each one of these mean. But all of them, in the end of the day, they point to Allah's all-encompassment. And so Allah says He is Al-Awwal, the first, and He is Al-Akhir, the last, and He is Al-Zahir, the most apparent or the highest, and He is Al-Batin, the most intimate or the most near. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, and He has knowledge of everything. As for the Sunnah, we have in the Hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically taught us a dua that we say before going to sleep. And so he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, before you go to sleep, put your right hand, go to sleep on your right side with your right hand under your head and say this dua. What is this dua? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma rabb as-samawati wa rabb al-ardi wa rabb al-arsh al-azim, rabbana wa rabb kulli shay' faliq al-habbi wan-nawa wa munzil at-taurati wal-injili wal-furqan, a'udhu bika min sharri kulli shay'in anta akhidhun bi nasiyatihi. So it's part of the dua. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma أنت الأول فليس قبلك شيء وأنت الآخر فليس بعدك شيء وأنت الظاهر فليس فوقك شيء وأنت الباطن فليس دونك شيء اقضي عنا الدين وأغننا من الفقر. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called upon Allah by these four names that are mentioned in the Quran. And so he said, "Oh Allah, you are Al-Awwal, the first, with nothing before you. You are the last, with nothing after you. You are Al-Zahir, the most apparent or the highest, without anyone being or anything being above you. And you are the most near Al-Batin, with nothing being nearer than you. اقضي عنا الدين واغننا من الفقر. Help us to pay off our debts and relieve us of poverty." So what do each one of these names mean? Each one means something else. And with respect to these names in particular, we take the meaning from none other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose explanation was sufficient in that dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only mentioned these names, but then explained each one. Not only explaining what they meant, but also negating their opposite. Negating their opposite, as we saw. So he said, اللهم أنت الأول فليس قبلك شيء. Oh Allah, you are the first without anyone being before you. So he negated the fact that there's anyone before Allah. And the same with the other three. And so Al-Awwal, we can say, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the first before whom nothing and no one existed. Which means that no matter how far you go back into the eternal past, no matter how far you go back, nothing precedes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing comes before Him. There is no first except that Allah precedes it. There is no first except that Allah was there before Him. And so it proves that everything besides Allah is a creation that has a beginning, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is uncreated and has no beginning. So that's the meaning of Al-Awwal, the first. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in another hadith explaining how Allah was there in the beginning. The Prophet ﷺ said, كان الله ولم يكن أحد غيره. That Allah had existed when there was no one else with Him. There was no one else other than Him. There was nothing else other than Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only does He precede the creation, but also He has no beginning. Also He has no beginning. And this is something we will come to later on, insha'Allah ta'ala. The second name, Al-Akhir, is basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the last and enduring eternally, after which nothing and no one else will remain. Which means that no matter how far into the future things will exist, nothing will outlast Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there is no last except that Allah comes after it. There is nothing that is considered last except that Allah outlasts it. And so this proves that everything and everyone besides Allah is a creation that has an end, while Allah is uncreated and has no end. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this regard, وَكُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. That everyone upon it, meaning upon the earth, will eventually perish. will cease to exist, while your Lord Himself and the face of your Lord will remain forever. And so this is the meaning of Al-Akhir. After that we have Al-Zahir. Al-Zahir basically means the most apparent, which means that he is the most high, as explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, وَأَنْتَ الظَّاهِرُ فَلَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٍ. You are the Zahir, and there is none above you. And so this means that no matter how high up you go in the creation of Allah, nothing is above Allah. No matter how high up you go. And so there is nothing high except that Allah is higher. There is nothing high except that Allah is higher than that. And we know that the highest of Allah's creation is what? Is it the seven heavens? It is the Arsh. The throne of Allah is like the ceiling of the creation, like the roof of the creation. It is also the largest of Allah's creation. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, there is nothing larger than the Arsh, the throne of Allah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he describes, you know, the levels of Allah's creation in terms of how high up they go. He said, between the first heaven and the one above is a distance of 500 years journey. Between each of the seven heavens is a similar distance of 500 years journey. So you have the seven heavens, between them is a distance of that much. And then he said, likewise, the distance between the seventh heaven and the Kursi is a journey of 500 years. The Kursi, as mentioned in Ayatul Kursi, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that the Kursi of Allah extends over the heavens and the earth. And Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, explained the Kursi to be the footstool of Allah. So the Kursi we should not confuse with the Arsh. The Kursi is one thing and the Arsh is something else. As we see in the same narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, between the seventh heaven and the Kursi of Allah is a distance of 500 years. And then he said, the Arsh is above the water. And then he said, وَاللَّهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the Arsh. وَلَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ مِنْ عَمَلِكُمْ شَيْءٍ, and Allah is above the throne, and none of your deeds are hidden from Him. So this explains to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest. And that no matter how high you go in the creation of Allah, going through the heavens and eventually reaching the Kursi and even the Arsh, there is nothing above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the highest. As for Al-Batin, then He is the most near. Again, as explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when he said, وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ, you are the most near, and nothing is nearer than you. Basically, what this means is that Allah is the most near, with nothing being nearer to the creation than Him. Which means that no matter how down to the core of something you go, nothing is closer to that thing than Allah. And so think about yourself. No one is closer to you than yourself. Even the closest of human beings to you does not know things that are inside of you. Your innermost secrets, your inner thoughts. So you are closest to yourself. But Allah is even closer to you than yourself. And so that's the meaning of al-batin. That there is nothing closer to any being in terms of knowledge besides Allah. There is nothing nearer to a person except that Allah is near, even one's own self. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this regard in Surah Qaf, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. Indeed, it is we who created man, and we fully know what his soul whispers to him. Allah knows your inner thoughts. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And we are closer to him than his jugular vein. So the jugular vein is a vein connected to your heart that is the closest part of you to you as a human being. If it was cut, you would die. Allah is closer to you than that. And so these are the four names of Allah, that all of them, what do we notice? They refer to Allah encompassing everything. And so Allah encompasses everything by time. Go to the past and there's nothing before Allah. Go to the future, there's nothing after Allah. And Allah encompasses everything in terms of space. And so no matter how high above you go, there's nothing higher than Allah. Allah encompasses his creation. No matter how down and minuscule and to the core you go of things here on earth, or even beneath the earth, nothing is closer to the creation of Allah than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so there are many things that we learn from these four names, many things that these four names teach us. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the first means that he is uncreated. And therefore nothing caused him subhanahu wa ta'ala to exist. Everything else besides Allah had a cause behind its existence. And that's why one of the most obvious proofs that you could debate with an atheist to prove to him the existence of Allah is by telling him that nothing exists except that it had a cause behind its existence. And so that includes this universe. It could not have just popped up out of nowhere. Nothing comes into being on its own. It has to have a cause. And so that's why if you were to debate with them and go back all the way to what they claim to be the Big Bang, then ask them, okay, fine, let's say for argument's sake that the Big Bang is what caused this universe to come into existence. What caused the Big Bang? And this is where they don't have an answer for you. Because even that Big Bang must have had a cause. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being whose existence did not have a cause. And that's the meaning of al-awwal, that He is the first. He is the first means that nothing preceded Him. And therefore, nothing caused Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to come into existence. And here we can touch on a very, very important issue, and that is what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, a doubt that comes to the minds of some people. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this 1400 years ago, when today atheists, they bring up this doubt and try to confuse you about the existence of Allah. And so they ask you, if you say that everything must have a cause, and you say that therefore there is a creator, then they ask you, who created the creator? The Prophet ﷺ says, people will keep on asking questions until someone will say, Allah created the universe, but who created Allah? And then he said, whoever encounters anything like that, let him say, Amantu billah. If such a doubt comes to your mind, then reaffirm your iman. Say, I believe in Allah. That's it. I believe in Allah. In another narration of the same hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, Shaytan will come to one of you and say, who created such and such? Until he continues asking him, who created such and such? Who created such and such? Until he says to him, then who created your Lord? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, when it reaches that stage, let him seek refuge with Allah. Let him say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge in Allah from shaytan. And then let him stop thinking about it. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he told us the source of these doubts, that it is from shaytan. And then he also gave us a remedy by reaffirming our iman and seeking refuge in Allah from shaytan. But even besides that, there is also a logical answer to this question. The logical answer is that if you say that there has to be a creator of the creator, then who is the creator of that creator? And then who is the creator of that creator? And then you keep on going back infinitely. There will be no end. And this is what they refer to as an infinite regression of events. It's a cycle that is never ending. And so this logically disproves, or this logically answers, this objection of the atheists. And so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first, uncreated, with everyone else coming after Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing that we learn from Allah being the first is that all asbab or means that we take in this world to achieve our goals, they are secondary means. Whenever you want to achieve something in this life, you look for ways to achieve that goal. But those ways should always be secondary, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the first, the one who causes anything to happen. And so this should make us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and not rely on others. Why? Because Allah is the first. And so long as Allah is the first, then everyone else comes second. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the cause, the primary cause behind anything that is going to happen And so seek it from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Akhir means that He is the Eternal One. He is the last, and there will be no one to live on after Him. So here, some people may ask, how about the eternal nature of the Akhirah? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the Akhirah is something that will never cease to exist. It is eternal. The Akhirah is eternal. Jannah is eternal. Its bliss is eternal. And the people of Jannah will live on without any death. And the same thing with the hellfire. So we can answer this with three different answers. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Akhir means that after everything in this present world ceases to exist, only Allah will remain. So it refers to this dunya. And so there is nothing in this dunya that Allah has created that will live forever. And so even the angels that have been existing before mankind and before the jinn, even they will die. And that will be when Israfil will blow into the trumpet. And then even Israfil will die. And that is when nothing will exist, as Allah says. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everything will cease to exist and only Allah will remain. So this is the meaning of Allah being the last. Nothing will outlast Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the eternity of the Akhirah was preceded by non-existence. The Akhirah had a beginning. Jannah had a beginning. The hellfire had a beginning. And the inhabitants of Jannah, the inhabitants of the hellfire, their beginning will be the Day of Judgment. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His eternity is something that has no beginning. It was not preceded by non-existence. Thirdly, the eternity of the Akhirah is not something that happened on its own. It's not a quality of the Akhirah. Just like we in the Akhirah, our eternity, our eternal nature in the Akhirah is not because we are eternal beings. It will not be because we are eternal beings. It will be because Allah gave us that quality. It will be because Allah will give us that. Whether it be in Jannah or in the hellfire. Just like in this dunya, we have certain qualities, certain characteristics that are only related to this dunya. Like, for example, sleeping. It's only related to this dunya, not related to the Akhirah. Allah will change your nature in the Akhirah that will not allow you to sleep. Same thing with eating and drinking in Jannah. It won't be a need. Likewise, death. It's a quality only of this dunya, not of the Akhirah. And so even the people of the hellfire, although they will be burned, they will not die. Because their nature will change. Who is the one who gave him that nature? Allah. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his eternity is an attribute of his very self. It's not something Allah acquired. In the akhirah, we human beings, we will acquire that attribute of being eternal. Allah will give it to us. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, him being the last, him being the eternal, the ever living into the future, is an attribute of his very self, of who he is. And it's not something he has acquired. So that is a difference between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-akhir and the eternal nature of the akhirah. Fourthly, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-akhir also means that we should make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the end goal. If Allah is the last, we should make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the end goal, our ultimate objective, and not anyone else or anything else. Because everything else, everyone else, has an end. So why put all your hopes in something or someone that has an end? And so this includes what we mentioned earlier, the asbab, the means to achieving our goals. Don't rely on created means and forget about the Creator. And so the lesson here is to attach your heart to Allah and not the creation. And to make your eventual goal the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has no end, rather than the pleasure of people who have an eventual end. Fifthly, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-zahir, it means that Allah is the most high in both his status as well as his being. Contrary to what some scholars in the past may have said, that Allah being high above only means in his status, but not him himself. And so they said Allah is not actually above his creation. And we will talk more about this when we get to Allah's name, Al-Ali, the Most High. And so there are so many proofs in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and from the statements of the companions, radiallahu anhum, and those who followed them, the tabi'un, the taba' tabi'un, proofs that prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above his creation with his very being, his very essence, above his throne, in a manner befitting himself, obviously. So when we say that Allah is high above his creation, it doesn't mean that we are giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a body or a shape, or we are resembling Allah to his creation. Because, what did we say? We said, yes, Allah is above his creation. He is above his throne, as Allah said in the Quran, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. Ar-Rahman rose above the throne. But when we say that, we add the fact that he is above his creation and above his throne in a manner befitting himself, in a manner that we don't know, in a manner that for sure does not resemble the creation, and in a manner that is unknown to us. And so this also means that Allah is not everywhere, contrary to what some people think. Allah himself is high above. He is everywhere by his knowledge, by his sight, by his hearing. Not physically. He doesn't come and dwell into his creation. He doesn't come and enter into his creation and live in his creation. But rather, he subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above. Sixthly, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-zahir, the most high, this should make one to humble himself before Allah who is high above. And so when you really contemplate over your being compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should really make you to humble yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you realize how small and insignificant you are compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the highest, the most supreme, the greatest. Seventhly, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-batin, the nearest, does not mean that He is physically near to us, as we mentioned. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Allah, you are al-batin, and so there is no one nearer than you, it does not mean in the physical sense that Allah is near us physically, or He's dwelling within us. But rather, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although He is high above, He is nearer to us than our own selves in His knowledge and His sight. There is no one nearer to us in terms of knowing us than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so He is high while being near. And He is near while being high above. And there is nothing like Him. And so we shouldn't try to imagine how this is possible. Why? Because Allah tells us, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Him. So you cannot even try to imagine how that is. Because some, they may wonder, how can Allah be high above, so far, so distant? Seven heavens and between each heaven, 500 years journey. And then you have the Kursi, then you have the Arsh, and then you have Allah. Then how is He so near to us at the same time? The reason why you cannot imagine that, or the reason why you consider that impossible, is because you are comparing Allah to His creation. The standard that you're using is what you know in terms of material things in this world. You're thinking you have a friend across the world in a different part of the world, and He's so far from you. How could He be so near to me knowing what I'm doing? There's no comparison between the creation and Allah. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing comparable to Him. And so we simply accept Allah's names and attributes as they are, without resembling Allah to His creation, and without trying to understand how these names and attributes are. Eighthly, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to us should make us conscious and fearful of Him. This is the eventual fruit that we gain from this name of al-batin. That it should make us to really, really become conscious of Allah and fearful of Allah, for He knows about us what is hidden from others. He knows about us what is hidden from even the closest of people to us. He knows our inner thoughts. And so this should make us to purify our souls from every evil and our hearts from every filth. We should not make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the lowest of those who look at us. أَهْوَنَ النَّاظِرِينَ إِلَيْنَا. We shouldn't make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the lowest, the most insignificant of those who look at us. We look at people around us and we do things in a certain way so they don't think bad of us. But then when we're behind closed doors, we do those things because we're like, no one's watching me, they're not watching me, not realizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Not only that, but your inner thoughts, as I said. We need to purify our souls internally. And we should not be like, nobody knows what's inside me, so who cares? Why have you made Allah the lowest of those who look at you? Why have you elevated others above Allah in terms of how you are looked at? And so this is the greatest lesson that we learn from this name of Allah, Al-Batin. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watchful of us. He knows our inner secrets. He knows our inner thoughts. And this is especially true when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. We should control our thoughts. We shouldn't allow ourselves to wander off. We should realize that Allah is before us. And we are calling upon Allah. We are praying to Allah. We should be in a state of khushu'. In the state of focus and attention, where we are not allowing ourselves to be carried off by our thoughts, because Allah knows our thoughts. He hears those same thoughts. He hears them. And He is ever aware of them. Finally, these four names are a cure for doubts and whisperings. Doubts that come from shaitan. And so, one of the companions of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, Abu Zumail, he said to Ibn Abbas, he said, I feel something in my heart. So Ibn Abbas, he said, what is it? He said, Wallahi la atakallamu bihi. He said, I can't say. He said, by Allah, it's not something I could say in front of you. So Ibn Abbas, he asked him, do you mean doubts? So he said, yes. And so Ibn Abbas laughed, and then he said, no one can escape this. And then he recited to him the verse from Surah Yunus, verse 94, فَإِنْ كُنْتَ فِي شَكٍّ مِمَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ فَاسْأَلِ الَّذِينَ يَقْرَؤُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. So if you are in doubt, O Muhammad, concerning that which we have revealed to you, then ask those who are reading the book before you. Verily the truth has come to you from your Lord. And then Ibn Abbas said, when you feel any of this in your heart, any doubts, any whisperings concerning Allah, concerning the fact that, you know, this is the truth from Allah, the Quran is from Allah, that the Prophet ﷺ was indeed Allah's messenger. When any of these doubts come to you, then recite, هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Recite this ayah from Surah Al-Hadid. He is Al-Awwal, He is Al-Akhir, He is Al-Zahir, He is Al-Batin, and He has knowledge of everything. And so Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he gave him the cure to doubts and whisperings. And so whenever anyone has such doubts and whisperings, seek refuge in Allah from shaitan, as we mentioned earlier. Reaffirm your iman, and you know, mention these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that reassure you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed the truth, and what He sent is indeed the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep our hearts firm upon His deen and upon true guidance. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.